分手过了。Well, all right, well, turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to our source text. Now, maybe you're saying, well, you haven't told us what our source text is. Well, then let me tell you, it's Mark chapter 6. All right, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. For those who may be taking notes, you may or may not, I don't know, that's up to you. But for those who are, today's message is titled, Gifts and Guidances. Gifts and Guidances. We've been studying of late many of the accounts of Jesus' early ministry, if you will, which Mark recorded as testimony to the person and work of Jesus Christ. He was presenting it mainly to Gentiles, and the mighty works and the miraculous healings and the deliverances and the restoration of life were all evidence of the deity of Christ and of the command over all things physical and spiritual. Now, these were pointers, if you will, and truths to the fact that this man that they knew, Jesus, was in fact the Christ, the appointed of God, the Messiah, indeed the very Son of the Almighty God. No man on earth could do the miraculous things that Jesus was doing without having that personal relationship, first of all, with God. But certainly no natural man could do those things. Now, as last week's message concluded, God revealed to us also through Mark's record just how real the humanity of Christ was. Well, how did he do that? Thanks for asking. In that, though Jesus knew and understood all things just as God his Father knew and revealed them to Jesus, the man we know as Jesus still felt the same emotion and awe and marvel that we often feel. If you remember last week's message in chapter 6, as we concluded in verse number 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief, as talking about Jesus and how he was just amazed at the level of unbelief that he noticed as he tried to minister. And he marveled, verse 6 says, because of their unbelief. And yet, it wasn't the final conclusion. Now, sometimes I think that when things happen, kind of like an unbelievable, what do you mean, I just bought this truck. What do you mean it's failed? We just kind of stand there in bewilderment. We're like, how could this possibly be? And sometimes we're just kind of dumbfounded, at least for a short time. But that wasn't the end of the verse. That wasn't the end of Jesus' reaction when he noticed and he recognized their unbelief. The Bible says that he marveled at their unbelief, but it also says, and he went around about the villages teaching. It didn't stop him in his tracks, as it were. It wasn't the final conclusion, because it didn't hinder his continuance of his mission, if you will. Now, yes, verse 5, as you recall, and we can read it here, but verse 5 said that he could do there no mighty work. Talking about in his home area, we looked at that some last week. He could do there no mighty work save the healing of some that were sick. But you see, Jesus was not deterred, as verse 6 says. He went around about and continued. So, as we come to our text for today, which will be Mark chapter 6, verses 07 through 13, which we'll read here in just a moment. We're going to find here, I believe, that Jesus will use this last experience that he's just had as a teaching tool to help instruct and to exemplify to his apostles what they can expect when they begin to minister. As God also gives us the understanding, we'll look for a relevant application that we can make for our lives even today as well. Now follow along, beginning in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7. The Bible here says, "And he," that's Jesus, "and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth two by two and two,
and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And verse 12 says, And they, the apostles, went out and preached that man should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now reading this passage, one might rightly consider, I suppose, that this text, it's a very specific text that tells us how the apostles were to begin and to conduct their missions. So how could that possibly relate to us? What's just a historical record? If, however, our consideration of this text ends there, that it is just a historical record, then, well, I believe that we don't realize that God has preserved this text as a learning tool for our present day also. The Bible tells us, or should I say that God tells us, that there are an innumerable host of things that happened while Jesus was ministering on earth. And the Bible says that if they should be written every one, even the world itself could not contain the books in John chapter 21. So from that, I have to believe that for this account to be preserved here in the Gospel of Mark, God has a specific intent for us to study it today also. As part of that study, we want to look at three things that I see in this text. First, the calling, then the charge, and then the challenge. May God help us to find His answers today as we pray. Father God in heaven, as we look to this message, gifts and guidances. Lord God, there's no possible way that I can expound Your Scripture to the understanding of each one here. God, we're asking as we come before You to allow the Holy Spirit complete utterance in our own hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, Lord, to open our understanding, Father, to see where we fit into Your Scriptures, that, Lord, how You want to teach us and how You want to guide us today. I'd ask for Your Holy Spirit to have complete control of this next amount of time while we look at Your Word. Bless us, help us, guide us as we go now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking first at the calling. All right, well, I'm sure that as we just read this passage, it's pretty easy to see how I came up with this first point when reading the first verse of our text. In fact, verse 7 says, And he called unto him the 12. Well, that's a pretty clear, the calling. Okay, so there it is. No real theological deep understanding happening right there, the calling. But the Bible says, And he called unto him the 12. Now, Mark then records a number of things that happen, all in rapid succession here. Now look at what the Bible says. And he called unto him the 12. And Jesus began to send them forth by two and two. And Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits. And Jesus commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey. And down in verse 10, he said unto them. All right, so there's a number of things that are happening, all basically right here at the same point. Well, what's so important about that? Well, it's clearly evident that by the phrasing that I see here, these specific events were particular to these apostles. Now, I don't know if you have been given power over unclean spirits. I don't believe that I have. I don't know that you have been sent out by two and two. I have not necessarily, except that God has given me a help, meet for my needs, so in that case we are two, but God has sees us as one. But we are together in the ministry here. So these events were specific to these apostles. Now that being the case, what then can we learn and use in our own life? If God intended for us to be able to study this, which I believe He has, what is it that we are to take from it from this passage, it seems to be kind of limited in its scope of application, because it's just talking about what the apostles, those were the men that were specifically sent by the person of Jesus Christ. Well, I believe there's no less than a few things that we can learn, to be sure. First, how did these men become apostles? Maybe we should make this an interactive service today. How did these men become apostles? Well, the Bible tells us right here, Jesus called them. Jesus called them. It was God's intent. It was Jesus Christ who tapped them on the shoulder and said, follow me. It wasn't these men seeking out Jesus and saying, hey, I want to follow you because you've got some good things to say and I want to be one of your best tools to use. That wasn't the case. It was Jesus that said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus called them. Now let me ask you this. How did you and I come to believe in and accept Christ as our Savior? Did you go seeking after the Lord? I don't know about that. I have to believe what the Bible says, that there are none that seek after righteousness. In our lost condition, before we know Jesus Christ, all we know is what makes us feel good, is what makes us happy, is what makes us get from one day to the next. We aren't seeking after the righteousness of God, the Bible says, but someone showed us. God came to us through someone to show us that there was a better way than what we knew. Was it not also by the faith given to us by God? And by the calling, if you will, the invitation of Christ who said, come unto me. The invitation of Christ who said, whosoever believeth on him, and whosoever shall call upon his name. See, those are invitations to us. They included us, though we were lost and without hope. So it was God that came to us. Secondly, our text says that Jesus began to send them forth by two and two. And what does Luke write in the record of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8? You probably know it. Luke writes, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what does he say? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Oh, so Jesus sent the apostles out. And Jesus said that after the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we also are going to be sent to be witnesses. Wow, that's two for two right now. That already, this passage means me. That's two for two. What did Jesus tell the man in the country of the Gadarenes we studied just a few weeks ago? Go and tell how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He didn't go to seminary. That man had no time to go to church and learn for weeks and weeks and months and years who Jesus was. That man was told as soon as he was delivered of his demons, Jesus, the very Lord, said, go home, tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Notice, though, that in any case, in any of these examples, the witness cannot be true and the witness cannot be effective until after time has been spent watching, learning, and speaking with Christ. Back in chapter 3 of Mark, when the 12 were first ordained, the first part of their ordination was this, that they should be with him. That was the very first thing that Jesus ordained to these 12, that they should be with him. We cannot know him. We cannot know how Jesus works. We cannot know how God works or what he would do in any given situation without ample time to spend in his presence and in God's word. Third, Jesus then, in our text now, first he called them. Then he commanded them. Then thirdly, so they spent time with him. Thirdly, then Jesus gave the apostles a gift. He gave them a very special gift for the purpose of using to bless and to benefit others as they minister, to bring all the glory back to God. The text says, and gave them power over unclean spirits. In verse 7, they were able to deliver others of the possession by unclean spirits. Do you and I have that power? No, we haven't been given that gift. For us, God has given to us the Holy Spirit, and we have the power to overcome those same unclean spirits that perhaps overwhelmed us in time past. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No. The devil tempted you to do it. You chose. But we have the power through the Holy Spirit of God to overcome those unclean spirits. So, in fact, we have been given the power over unclean spirits. It just happens to be the ones that are maybe plaguing us. Even more than that, we are no longer slave to sin or to our old sin nature. We can, by the power given to us by God, be free indeed, the Bible says. And God has also given each one of us some special gift. Some, maybe more than one gift. Maybe some special gifts that we also, just like these apostles, were to use to bless and benefit others as we minister as witnesses unto Christ. Friend, that's our calling. We wondered, how could this passage possibly apply to us? We have a calling. We have been saved. God came to us. God gave us the faith. God saved us through His grace and has given us gifts and has given us power to overcome. The gifts that we've been given come with guidance. He says, go and use those to bless others. That's our calling. Secondly today, the second point is the charge. If you will, we saw here in verse number 7, this was the calling of the apostles. In verses 8 and 9 of our text, it shows us that as the Lord commissioned these apostles, He was very clear that the work that they were being called to do had to be done in faith and by faith, and by faith alone. You see, they were not to gather, as we've already read this, they were not to gather any of those things that they thought they might need for however long this journey might be. He says, don't go packing up all your stuff and taking it with you. He says, take your staff, put sandals on your feet. You don't need two coats. Don't take scrip, don't take bread, don't take anything else, no money, no nothing. Go. Go with what you have. God will provide as you need it. You see, they were not to gather any of those things that they thought that they might need. Rather, they were to trust that God would provide what they needed when they needed it. Can I suggest to you? Well, I'm going to go ahead and suggest to you. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that self-reliance is one of the biggest detractors and hindrances of being able to give God all the credit and all the honor for anything He does in our life. If we're self-reliant, oh yeah, I did that. Hey, I did a good job. Where's God in that? Well, we've left Him. Jesus said, don't take stuff with you. Take your staff, put shoes on your feet, put on a coat and go. Use what God's given you right now. As God has given it to you, you have a gift. I don't know what your gift might be from the Lord. I don't hardly know what my gifts might be from the Lord sometimes. Maybe you've got multiples. Maybe it's not the gift of teaching or speaking or preaching or singing or playing an instrument or whatever it might be, but you have a gift. You see, the gifts that God has given you or me, they are to be used just as God has given them. Whatsoever God has given you, maybe it's technical abilities, maybe it's the ability to help others, maybe it's just having mercy, maybe it's having a shoulder to cry on. Maybe it's just companionship. Maybe it's exhortation. Who knows? I don't know what your gift is. God asks only that we go use it to be a blessing to others, to be a help and a praise for God with others. So then Jesus had this to say in our text in verses 10 and 11. Oh, we have to read this. It's beautiful. Verse 10, Jesus said unto them, "In what place soever you enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now this is where Jesus, I believe, is using that most recent event. Remember that? When he was in his home country, he was in the synagogue and people were offended at him. And he said, a prophet has no honor in his own country. He was rejected where you would have thought they would have been so excited to see him. But this is where Jesus used that event to teach both the apostles and all who are here today reading this scripture. And all who have read this scripture from the day that it was penned and recorded on papyrus or on paper or wherever it might have been recorded. It's a teaching moment for us. Notice, if you will, two distinct parts, I believe, of Jesus' words. First, in what place soever you enter, he says, there abide. What does that mean? Well, abide, if you look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is the best dictionary to use, I think, quite frankly, but abide means to continue. It means to stay. It means to dwell. It means to stand firm. Oh. And if we were to couple with that other scripture, Paul's first letter to Corinthians, and also in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the Bible tells us, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And do it heartily as unto the Lord. And do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In other words, if we are to there abide, wherever God places us, wherever God puts us, and whatever He gives us to do, there, stay, continue, dwell therein, stand firm on what God has given you to do, and do it to bring God the glory. Do your best at what God gives you to do, and do it completely, and do it with thanksgiving. Then when the next thing comes, when it's time to move on to the next thing, work on that next thing for the Lord's glory with all of your heart, doing it heartily as unto the Lord. As God gives you things to do, don't look for ways out of it. He says, there abide. Bring glory to God. Second part of Jesus' words here, I believe. Say this to us. As we minister, as the apostles were to minister, know that there will be some, if not many, that will oppose you and the message that you proffer. There will be some that have absolutely no desire to hear anything that you have to say about the Lord. They're going to call you the goody two-shoes if you're following all the rules and doing your job the way you're supposed to do it. Well, that goody two-shoes, he's just not, you know, he's a big old stick in the mud. I can't have any fun with him. I can't even talk to him. Because you always want to talk about the Lord. Praise God for that. Because that's God's protection to keep you out of that muck and mire. Notice what Jesus says that our response should be. He says, abide there until you depart. And when you depart, the Bible says, just leave. It says, shake off the dust under your feet for testimony against them. There is no mention here, and please show me if I'm wrong. I don't see anything in this verse, in this scripture, that says that we are to ever get into a verbal debate about what we're talking about. There's no mention of a verbal debate, no mention of chiding, there's no mention of ill speaking against those that are opposing us, or getting incensed, or getting upset about, I can't believe the way they treat me over there. There's no word here that talks about we should be getting all upset like that. The Word of God tells us shake off the dust of your feet, leave. The judgment of whomever it was that might be opposing you is not for us. The Bible says here, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. Not when we leave, but when God calls everyone into account. Then they're going to have theirs. Leave it to the Lord. He says, when it's time to go, just go. You just shake off the dust of your feet. Not a word spoken. It's time to go. And move on. Because you know what? There's more to do. The Bible tells us to cast our cares upon Jesus. Because, you know, sometimes when people oppose us, sometimes when people make fun of us, sometimes when people pick at us and just call us names, then it hurts. But God says, cast all your cares upon Him because He careth for you. Don't go fighting back. Don't go lashing out to try to make yourself feel better at someone else's expense. Leave. Go to the Lord and cast all your cares upon Him. But then, just as Jesus did, and as we saw it last week, where the Bible said, and He went round about the villages teaching. You see, Jesus' message to His apostles was that when the day of judgment comes, all will be handled righteously by the true judge. We need not be concerned if we have done our work as God has charged us to do. Our account will be of us and how we handled what God has given us. That is, that we have done everything we can to do our work honestly, righteously, honoring God in it. And know that unless we suddenly find ourselves standing in the presence of Christ, when we leave whatever that was that we were in, there is more work that He would have us to do until suddenly we wake up and, oh, this is the Bema Seat. Oh, I don't have any work to do down there anymore. All of a sudden, now I have been made incorruptible and I have been made immortal. But until that time, there's more work to do. There's more work that God would have us to do. So lay the past at the feet of Christ. Lay the past at the foot of the cross. Cast all your cares upon Him and continue on. Jesus said, and He went round about the villages teaching. Not so easy to do? Of course not. But Jesus had that experience also. And Jesus will help you through it. Thirdly, as we close today, the challenge. We have looked at the calling. We all have a calling. We've looked at the charge. We have a charge, and that is to do our jobs. Do what God has given us to do. And do it to bring glory to God. Not worrying about what others might think, as long as we are righteous before God. And our challenge, verses 12 and 13. The Bible here says, and they, that's the apostles, they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. You see, they did their job. They took that commission of the Lord, and they ran with it. They did exactly what God had asked them to do, what Jesus had asked them to do. Our challenge is to act just as these apostles did in our text. Spend the time that we need to spend with our Savior, our Master, our Teacher, our Friend. Spend the time that we need to. Then go and share Christ with others by being that Christ-like worker and example of what God would have His children to be. Be that example of what God expects, exercising the gifts that God gives us to bless and to meet the needs of others. Finally, our challenge is to seize upon every open opportunity to tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Make the presence of Jesus so very real in your own life that everything you do is because Jesus is right here with you. Listen to the guidance that God gives along with His gifts. We've been given gifts. Gifts are a great thing. Don't you love to get a gift? Sometimes you get the gifts and they're very complex. You got to pull out the instructions. Well, guess what? God's gifts come with instructions. They come with guidances. Take the gift. Use it to bless others. And follow God. Pastor.
So in essence, make everything about Jesus and me. Amen? Isn't there a song, Jesus and Me?
There is a song, yes.
Is it in our hymnal?
I will see if we can find it.
Very good. I thought we've sung that here before. Do you know what that is? Jesus and Me?
I think so. Jesus and Me, hymn number 46.
All right. Let's close with singing.
Let's close with singing hymn number 46. Mr. Bombard, would you come?
You said 46?
46.
Yep, Jesus and Me. Boy, that's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? Jesus and Me. Jesus and Me.
46.
Jesus and Me?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's sing all three verses.
There we go. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. Lord, the fellowship around you is one of grace, around your word, around the table. Lord, spiritually and physically, it's been very rewarding and enriching. And Father, we thank you for your infallibly preserved word and the spirit that guides and directs us to present it to one another. Lord, as we go our separate ways this week, may we be mindful, even in moments when it doesn't seem like it's there, but we are mindful that it's just you and me. And that, Lord, will be guided and directed by you. And how we respond and act, we'll be honoring and glorifying to you. So, Father, use us throughout this week and until you come and gather us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.